I learned that bowing through Christ's name in the Episcopal Church. I went to Episcopal Church one Sunday, and the priest up there was said Father, and then Son, and Holy Spirit. And I liked that. I said, I've always adopted that about 20 years ago. So you can learn something, can't you? This morning in your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible this morning. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, Unless he is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. When I come to a new church, I always look around to see, you know, the people, the faces, and whatever. And it reminds me, years ago when I was a missionary in Brazil, I wasn't in charge of it, but there was a, they called them union meetings. And what it was a conglomerate of Presbyterians, Assemblies of God, and the Baptists. But it was way out in the interior, hundreds of kilometers from the coast where I lived. But I wasn't in charge. There were some other missionaries were bringing three busloads of volunteers from Augusta, Georgia back there. But I was taking a carload of Brazilians out in the interior. So I got out there, checked in the hotel there, and got ready. The service was going to be in the evening since it's so hot in Brazil. Services are always held in the evenings. You should see the windows are wide open. They don't have glass panes. They have shutters. And people will sit in the windows to listen to the worship service and participate. Well, I got a phone call. Said the buses had broke down. Said, you're going to have to do the preaching that night. I said, oh, no. Well, I was always prepared like a Boy Scout to do that. So I ended up starting to preach. Well, as I was preaching, there was a gentleman over on the left of me, and he was yelling, Hallelujah, 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 and he was going on. He was very distracting. Well, I'm tolerant, you know, like that, but at the same time, when it's distracting, it takes away from the message. And I said to myself, I wish that Assembly of God minister, his minister, would shut him up. Guess what? He turned out to be a Presbyterian. See, you can't judge a book by its cover, can you? So, you know, it's amazing how God puts people in your lives, and sometimes they're nicer than others, sometimes they're irritants, but it's very true that, you know, God does bring people into our lives. It's mostly a good surprise. And you know, in this message today, Nicodemus came to Christ. He came at night, and you know, people may snicker and even ridicule those folks who speak simplistically of their faith. To be clever in faith may become an eternal stumbling block in that we could become no more than devout church-going agnostics. The controversial bishop John Shelby Spong told a group of people once, My daughter has her PhD in physics. How on earth is she expected to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, if Spong had asked me that question, my response would have been, I've never been to Tahiti, but I believe that through faith in Rand McNally Atlases that Tahiti does exist. By the way, I want to go to Tahiti one of these days, so that's why I included in it. But we are not nearly as brilliant in our intelligence as we think. We tend to believe that we are devoted to God, open-minded, and intolerant. But most of us aren't that perfect. Which brings us to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Christ by night, skulking about in the shadows of the midnight hour. Strange, because Nicodemus was a person of stature in the Sanhedrin, that was the governing body in Jerusalem of the Jewish people, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and the teachers of the law. They were the big shots in Israel. And so he was important in the Sanhedrin, the temple, and a biblical scholar. But think about this. Nicodemus is us. Those of us who are in the know. And you know, he said to Christ, "Rabbi, we know," are his first words. He spoke out from a self-confident, secure religious outlook where smugness can be taken for granted. Nicodemus, in certain words, said to Christ, or as the late comedian Joan Rivers used to say, "Let us talk. Let's talk." But in reality, he said this in a sort of a paraphrase, "Lord, can we talk? Can we talk?" Now, it is known through reliable authorities, which has been proven beyond a doubt, that you must be from God, for your work seems certifiably divine. Christ replied, "No, you don't know nor understand. Nobody knows what is possible with God unless one is born again." Nicodemus was flabbergasted as well as discombobulated. It isn't what he expected. Not at all. Not at all. "How can this be?" was Nicodemus' response. Nicodemus visited Christ to get a few thoughts clarified. And likewise, our spiritual sophistication doesn't impress God. It'll help us discover a more meaningful faith. I remember several months ago in my presbytery, the moderator, who is a wonderful person, I can't say anything about her, negative, but she requested that all the ordained ministers bring their stoles to the presbytery meeting in order to bring honor and have pride in their ordination. Well, if the responses from a lot of the ministers were, "Who are we to be so special in wearing our stoles? Is that our authority? Does that make us more important, say, than a elder or a deacon or maybe just a Sunday school teacher?" That brings a division. Well, very few of us wore our stoles that day, but we didn't do it out of spite. We just did it because we felt like that was not glorifying God. And so I think she got the message, and later she apologized that maybe she overstepped her boundaries there. But so sometimes we can take on more. I always remember the 19th century Anglican vicar named Sidney Smith. He was always saying wisecracks. They said Queen Victoria used to fall off her throne laughing when he would make a wisecrack in front of her. But he always said, "Avoid shame or scandal, but don't seek glory or importance. They can be expensive too." So we must remember that. Are you important? Am I important? Well, some ways, but mostly in comparison to God, no, we're not. Spiritual insight comes not from burning of the midnight oil, but is God's gift from heaven. Automatically, we assume that we possess the mental aptitude to understand the world and everything else, including God. Some people believe if they get baptized, if they join the church, that is all there is, but it isn't. Christ spoke to Nicodemus, who was educated, self-assured, and with a confident intellect like most of us here. But as with Nicodemus, we need the enlightenment of God's Holy Spirit to give our faith meaning. Give our faith meaning. Christ said, in a sort of a paraphrase, if I have wasted my time telling you about earthly things and you don't get it, Nicodemus, then how am I supposed to let you in on heavenly things? Christ guided Nicodemus not just toward a new way of thinking, but a new life as well. That night, Nicodemus was freed of his own spiritual hang-ups, of his own blindness, and then began to envision God's way. See, so many moments and instances in our life, in our faith journey, we get a lot of things that we don't need in them, and it sort of becomes a barrier, almost like a spiritual cataract. We don't see God clearly. Now, there's always people around that wants to set you straight. I've got a good friend. I call him a correctionist. He will tell you exactly what the Bible means in his interpretation. I told him one day, so do you have private exclusive property on the Holy Spirit? See, that's the thing. Many of us, and you know, when I was smarter about 20 years ago, I probably did have an answer for everything. But that's not the case. It is to view God and approach God in a humble attitude, not an arrogant one. And so Nicodemus, I'm not saying Nicodemus was arrogant or all that, but he did come in with already assumptions made, and he was completely aghast. He couldn't believe it. But Nicodemus didn't leave, did he? He stayed and listened to what Christ had to say because there was a hunger in Nicodemus that wanted to hear this, and Nicodemus did. But you know, Nicodemus isn't heard again, especially in the Gospel of St. John, until after the crucifixion. And he came with Joseph of Arimathea to claim the body of the Messiah. That was interesting in itself. It was considering that Christ was condemned to death by the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was a card-carrying member. He risked both his life and his social status as an acknowledged follower of Jesus Christ. At the tomb, there was none of that we-know-it-all attitude. In fact, Nicodemus brought spices to honor Christ as an act of love. So Nicodemus was truly changed by what Christ told him. Actually, he cast off the old ways. But what about ourselves? This reconciliation to God is the start of a meaningful relationship for eternity. But salvation is not the only objective, or going to heaven and escaping hell. There are so many things that Christ offers us. God's gift through Jesus Christ also expresses itself by a serious devotional life undergirded by active faith by placing feet upon those prayers. Did you think about that? Sometimes we need to put feet on those prayers. You know, though good works are repulsive to some people, in the Epistle of St. James it says, faith without works is dead. Now, there's some people say, well, I'm already one of God's elect and I don't have to worry about anything, you know. That's not the point. The point is, are you truly carrying out God's mission on earth? Billy Graham was playing golf one day with the president of a prestigious theological seminary of New England. His president said, Billy, I admire your father-in-law, Dr. Nelson Bell. He's one of the greatest churchmen of our generation. This would have been probably in the 1950s or 60s. However, I lament the fact that he does not have a social conscience. He so emphasizes man's personal relationship to God that he neglects the physical and social needs. Billy stopped in his tracks, dropped his golf club, literally, and looked at that seminary president in amazement and says, my dear friend, Dr. Nelson Bell spent 25 years of his best days in the interior of China as a Southern Presbyterian missionary alongside his little family, doing with his hands what you preach about from your air-conditioned pulpit. Dr. Bell's burden for the physical needs of people not only sent him to China, but as hundreds of people in the community of Montreat, North Carolina live, they can testify that Dr. Bell is there for them, and it continues to this day. A lot of times we have our ideas of way we should be acting Christians, good little Christians. We do our good deed, maybe give a can of beans to a food pantry or donate some clothing to a center. But really, have you ever participated in something? Have you sacrificed anything that could say that, hey, God is truly leading me to do something? You know, I mentioned something about in Brazil as a missionary. You know, most of the people think that being missionaries is quaint little things. It's like a Sunday school class. But there's a lot that goes on. And what Billy Graham was sharing about happened to me. I would go to the slums in Brazil a lot, the favelas as they call them. I would take fresh water. One of the most dire needs overseas is fresh water. And you know as well as I do, if you don't have water, you're not going to make it too long. By doing so, and I'm going to tell you something, you do some things that I never had pink eye till I went to Brazil. I got two cases of it. I got two cases of lice. You remember that was a scandal in school at one time to get lice. And I kept itching one day in my head, and I realized, what's that little thing crawling on my fingernail? And it was lice. And then I had two cases of dengue fever. Anybody familiar with dengue fever? It's a first cousin to malaria. And boy, I stayed in bed 2 weeks taking nothing but Tylenol and watching every episode of I Love Lucy. And it's a Desi Lou production too, you know. And then I had a relapse in it a few weeks later, but fortunately it was only about a week. So as a Christian, We may say and make excuses, well, I'm too old to do it. But I've read the Bible through, and I'm going to share this with you because some of you already know it. I'm reading the Bible through for the 90th time. I have never seen one aspect that some people may justify. I've never seen something. I've never seen a retirement age in the Bible to serve God. God has no retirement clause for God's followers, for believers. So Nicodemus, as we are, sometimes are caught off guard. God may ask us to do something that we've never done before. So this morning, we must believe that salvation is because of God's compassion for the world. And we are, in turn, God's gracious recipients. I always tell you this a lot of times in my sermons in my church. I always describe myself as having a cheerful and comfortable faith. Think about that. A cheerful and comfortable faith. Does that mean I live a life of ease? No, not necessarily. But I do know this, that with God's help, there's so many things can be done and accomplished. Try that out sometime and see how God can use you in all these things. But that the eternal faith that is from God's plan of salvation is truly the result of being born again. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, sometimes we get so caught up in the little idiosyncrasies of daily life that we put you on the shelf. Forgive us when we do so, but may we never look around at others and judge them, because we need to make an inventory, a spiritual inventory of ourselves. Help us, O Lord, when we stumble and fall. Help us when we seem like sometimes we've reached a plateau and we don't arise from it. We know that you will guide and lead us in all things. Through the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.